Our first lesson comes from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel. Now, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to me, his word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken, the Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over others, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth upon a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. Yea, does not my house stand so with God? For he has made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But godless people are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand. But the person who touches them arms themselves with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire. And then from the Apostle's letter to the Ephesian church, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men and women, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of the Father. May God add understanding to the reading of these words. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, stir us from our sense of complacency. Open our hearts and our minds to not only hear your word, but to react to it. Set our hearts on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we may do the work that you have laid before us to do. Let us hear the things that we need to hear. In your name, we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the 23rd chapter of 2 Samuel. Now, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. I have a very simple question for you to consider this morning. How do you want to be remembered? When your days here on this earth have come to an end, what do you want people to say about you? What memories do you wish to leave behind for them? I have done too many funerals not to take that question seriously. Robert H. Smith wrote, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour." To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no one can restore. The present only is our own, so live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. I believe that in life we are like a great ship cutting through ocean waters. And we leave a wake behind us that rocks other boats and that eventually washes onto distant shores, shores that we have never seen. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent, and during that time we will be looking at the gospel as it is found in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And I encourage you, if you have not yet picked up a copy somewhere or borrowed one, that you do so and read it. I have already begun reading A Christmas Carol, as I do every year after Thanksgiving, because it puts the Christmas spirit within my heart. When the last ghost appears to Ebenezer Scrooge, the old miser was rightly apprehensive. He had already been visited by the specter of Christmas past. He relived his joys and his sorrows. He looked at the life-changing decisions that he made that set him on a course. And then he was visited by the ghost or the specter of Christmas present, and he got a third-person point of view as to how people looked at him and considered him. And it saddened him deeply. But now he was to peer into the future with that haunting ghost of Christmas yet to come. And it frightened him. As the ghost took him to the graveyard, Scrooge stopped and said to the specter, "Before I draw near to the stone to which you point, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only?" The ghost was silent and merely pointed to the marker. Scrooge continued reflectively and pleadingly, "Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends to which, if persevered in, they must lead. But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me." The spirit was as silent and as immovable as ever. 2 Samuel begins with Hannah's poignant prayer for a child. Mary's prayer in what we call the Magnificat is almost a verbatim recitation of Hannah's prayer. And 2 Samuel ends with King David's prayerful reflection upon his reign. His life is about to draw to a close. Between Hannah's prayer and David's oracle, the human tendency to use and abuse power is a theme that is carried through to David's last words. And in his poetic song of praise, David's sin echoes in the background. You see, David was about to hand the throne over to his son Solomon. For, in the words of the New Testament epistle writer, he had run the race. He had kept the faith with God as best as he could. And now the baton was to be passed on to the new next generation. If Hannah's prayer was a lesson in the conscious utterance of our dependence upon God, David's oracle pointed to the foundational importance of knowing the source of one's strength in life. You see, leadership is a gift from God, and each and every one of you today is a leader because someone is looking up to you. Leadership is not to be held with a clenched fist nor pride from one's cold hands, but rather it is to be handled gently and passed on gracefully. In God's kingdom, David now knows at the end of his life that might does not make right. Rather, God's kingdom is one of justice and mercy and love. And in this reflective moment, David acknowledged that God did not determine everything that had happened in David's life. For example, it was not God's desire that David would seduce Bathsheba and have her husband murdered as part of a grand cover-up scheme. Yet in spite of David's sin, David moved toward an experience of not only divine justice, but mercy and love. You see, when human intention and action cooperate with God's purpose of justice, mercy, and love, then God's Spirit shines in the midst of the world's darkest hour. It cannot be denied that David was a flawed man, but he was also, the writer of the Old Testament says, a man of God's own heart. Flawed though he was, God was faithful, and God's promises were and are everlasting. In the wisdom of David in this twilight time of his life, he now understands and knows that the source of all of his power and all of his wisdom was found in no place other than in God. And he now knows that God is greater than all of our failures, because God is faithful even when we are not. In the Epistle of the Romans, the Apostle writes that God can take even our darkest moments and create something good out of them. In a world where the abuse of power and violence and fear and war are often couched in overtones of religion, David's oracle points to a greater reality. This greater reality is reflected in that letter to the Ephesians that I shared with you a few moments ago. For the writer there says, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise men and women, making the most of the time that has been given to you. Do not be foolish. Understand what is the will of God, and give thanks to God at all times and in all circumstances." So now I circle back to the original question. How do you want to be remembered when your days here draw to a close? You know, you are writing that oracle right now. Every day, every moment, every second of your life. In one of the Psalms attributed to David, the psalmist says, "Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." In the coming weeks, as we walk into the season of Advent, may we learn what godly wisdom is. May we learn the will of God to make melody in our hearts and to give thanks to God at all times and in all circumstances. To God be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen.